Welcome to our paranormal afterlife. This is our paranormal afterlife, and I'm your host, Simon Bowne. And if you want to hear the extended version of this episode, please join the Patreon campaign. This week, I'm talking to Amy Major about her book, Toward the Light, Rescuing Spirits, Trapped Souls, and Earthbound Ghosts. Amy Major is a psychic, empath, psychic medium, and rescue medium. Throughout her childhood, she developed astral projection, as well as the ability to see auras and energy surrounding people. She quickly learned that she had very strong rescue mediumship skills. Hi, Amy. Thanks a lot for coming on the podcast.
Hi, thank you for having me. This is going to be fun.
We're going to talk about your book. It's called Toward the Light, Rescuing Spirits, Trapped Souls, and Earthbound Ghosts. When you were young, you went to church and you would listen to the sermon and you could see strange colours encircling the pastors. But how old were you then?
I think I was about 9 or 10 years old at that time and didn't know anything about auras or spirituality or anything. And I was kind of on my journey of searching for God, because my family was very agnostic, but they never talked about church or God. My father was Jewish and my mother was Methodist, but they were both non-practicing. So I had this internal desire to find God. And so I would end up going to several different churches. And I remember one day I was sitting there and looking at the pastor and just all of this beautiful blue light started glowing, emanating from this pastor. And I'm looking at him like, who's shining this blue light on him? I don't get this. I would look away and then the blue lights would go away. And then after about a minute or two, the blue, I would call it more of a blue glow, would encase him again. And I had no idea what was going on. I thought there was something wrong with my eyes. And so, you know, I was always told I was a little strange as a kid, but no one kind of, you know, prepares you for seeing things that are the unexplained.
And if you look back now at that phenomenon that you saw happening, what do you think was going on? Do you think something was joining with him while he was doing it, or it was just you coming out of your shell, so to speak, and learning how to see this stuff?
I had been seeing things my whole life, but never really had anything to relate it to. I wasn't aware of the psychic or spiritual or metaphysical communities. I didn't watch a lot of that TV. The only thing I'd watch is like movies about heaven. But I, you know, I didn't even know about tarot cards. And this is all something very new. And when something's not in your awareness, you have no reference to claim that with. So when I was seeing it happen, I literally thought there was something medically wrong with my eyes. And I would tell my mom that I would see these things. And she actually had my eyes checked, making sure that there was nothing wrong with me. And they did say that I had something going on with my eyes, and they wanted to like prescribe me something with like a pink or a rose colored framed glasses, because they thought there was something wrong with my eyes as well, because I was seeing colors and auras and things around, and the doctor could not confirm that this is spiritually because they're medical doctors. And so they're like, well, maybe if we give her these colored frames, it might help with her vision. But my mom decided not to do it, and the colors never really went away. And I see people's auras every day walking around, and it kind of tells me a little story about them now that I've learned about auras. So I see it as a gift and a benefit. I can kind of read people before I talk to them now.
How did your family react if they're not religious and you're going to church and doing all these things?
Let's just say I was deemed the special child of my family, the black sheep, because my siblings would make fun of me and tell me that I was going to grow up to be a nun, because, you know, they didn't know anything about spirituality themselves. And of course, you have to be Catholic to be a nun, and we weren't Catholic at all. And so I kept looking around for different roles that I could play in the church and got very much involved in the Methodist church and in the choir there. But my parents were open to it because they knew I had a curiosity of heaven and the afterlife. And I don't think they saw any harm with it. And my mom's like, hey, let her do it what she wants to do. And it could be worse. She could be hanging out with people doing drugs and stuff. So she wants to go to church. That's perfectly fine. They didn't really say much. They would just drop me off at the church. I would have fun there. I would feel fascinated talking more at the pastors than the other people. I felt a calling to speak to spiritual leaders and ask a lot of questions. But I think it was more of my siblings kind of making fun of me and not really understanding why I felt so connected to God, because no one ever talked about it growing up. We didn't even talk about it when someone died. So it was a lonely experience. I have to say I felt very much not shamed, but definitely made fun of. Wanting to connect to the churches. And maybe it kind of gave me that motivation to continue, because if they had not done that, then maybe I wouldn't have something to prove to them. And that's when I realized that everything happens to us for a reason, and I'm grateful for it.
So your family had this viewpoint of a kind of materialist view of what happens to you after you die. But did they also see ghosts in your house?
Well, that is actually quite interesting, because my mother was a medium, and I wasn't aware that she was a medium growing up. But she would often talk about having conversations with dead people in our house. And she said that many times she would have conversations with her mother-in-law, my father's mother, even though she was in spirit, and they would sit and have conversations together. And my mom would drive us down and show us homes that she lived in a past life. But my mother was mentally ill. She had a huge bipolar disorder. She was just very, very anxious, very angry woman. And we always viewed her a mediumship, which we didn't know was mediumship, but we viewed this as a mental disorder. We didn't know it was real. But we did actually have a lot of ghost activity in the house growing up. You know, even my twin brother would have situations where he'd get up in the middle of the night and see ghosts walking around the house. So they believed in ghosts, but they never connected ghosts to spirituality, heaven, and God. It was always very separate. And I think a lot of people these days still separate them. One is paranormal and the other one is spiritual. And that's kind of why I discuss the work I do so much, because it is both spiritual, ghosts and spirits in the light. So, yeah, I would definitely say that my family was open to ghosts and ghost activity, but not open about talking about why they're ghosts. That was kind of still a very confusing situation.
Did you see the ghosts in your house?
No, I did not. I actually had the ability to hear. I was very clairaudient, which is the clear sensing of hearing internal dialogue in your head. I would actually, I had a walk-in closet growing up as a kid. I grew up in Southern California and there's big California ranches, and I had a walk-in closet. And many times I'd hear my siblings laughing because I would have conversations with voices in my head in the closet, because that was kind of like my hiding area. And so I would draw pictures, I would color, I would just sit and have conversations. I didn't know I was having conversations with my spirit guides. I literally thought I was just having conversations with an internal dialogue, like my inner voice that would soothe me and help me and teach me and guide me as I was a kid. But no, I didn't. I actually didn't see any ghosts at all. Growing up, later I found out my guide said that they were protecting me as a kid, because if I had opened up to my calling as a kid, living in an abusive home with tons of earthbound spirits in the home, it probably really would have affected me to the point where I may not have been doing the work I do today. So I think I was highly protected as a kid. It was mostly spirits in the light that I would communicate with.
So how did you first find out about mediumship?
It wasn't until I became a little older. I had actually joined the Navy and was traveling the world. And I remember sitting on a beach. I was on Diego Garcia, which is an island in the middle of the Indian Ocean, in the middle of nowhere. And I remember sitting there having more of these conversations with these voices in my head. And they would always tell me that I was different and that I was unique and I was meant to do something really important, but they never really kind of said what it was. And I still didn't know I was talking to spirit. I thought, honestly, I was just still talking to my inner dialogue, but they seemed to know things about me that I didn't know. 2 years later, I had left the military and moved up to New Hampshire. My ex-husband, who was my husband at the time, had family in New Hampshire, and we didn't really know where we wanted to go. I kind of wanted to go back to California, but he's like, let's just stop in New Hampshire until we know where we want to go. So we moved there, and his mom decides, oh, let me take Amy for an astrology reading and see, because she was very much into the New Age stuff, and I'm ex-military, I'm grounded. I'm like, oh, yeah, someone's going to go and tell me my horoscope. Sure, this is fine. And I get there, and there's this, I'm never going to forget it. It's this little old lady, she's in her 80s, and she takes me into her home, and she's a hoarder. And she has books and stuff from the floor to the ceiling. And I have to, like, walk through a maze of all of these things she has in her house. And I'm almost scared at this point because I'm thinking, okay, is she a serial killer? I'm like, where am I going? And she takes me out to the back and she starts getting all this paperwork. And she shows me this circle with all these squiggly lines and symbols on it. And she's like, I'm going to tell you a little bit about more about who you are and what you're here to do. And I'm like, okay. And all of a sudden she started talking to me about being psychic. And I'm like, what's psychic? And they're like, this is somebody who knows the future. Somebody could read energy. And I'm like, oh, no, that's not me. I'm like, no, 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 no. Oh, you mean like those tarot card readers? No, that's not me. And she's like, no, you came into this world very psychic and you're here to do that for a living. And so I thought, again, I'm talking to some crazy lady. Let's just wait for the reading to be over. And then I go home and laugh about this. And then she started talking to me about things that happened to me as a child. And then she started talking to me about the dreams, recurring dreams I had as a child. And then she talked to me about my very last past life, which I had memories of. And this is where she grabbed my attention because she knew things that other people would have no clue, no idea about. And so she started validating this information. I'm like, wait a minute, how do you know all this? And then she said she was psychic and then started telling me about my life and that I'm here to be known. I'm here to be on a stage. I'm here to explain things to people and to teach. And I'm like, how is this going to happen? And she's like, you're just going to have to wait and see. She didn't say anything about mediumship at the time because it still wasn't in my awareness. So I left and like, okay, I'm still thinking this lady's crazy. And then I was coming back home and right in the center of the town that I lived in, there was a psychic center. It's called the New Millennium Psychic Center in Derry, New Hampshire. And I'm driving by and these voices in my head are screaming at me. And they're like, you need to go in there. And I'm like, I'm not going in there. I'm like, yeah, I know. She told me I'm psychic, but I'm not ready to go in there. It took about 6 months of them yelling at me, not in a very nice, you know, supportive way, but just kind of like, you need to go in there. You need to go in there. So I'm finally like, fine, I'll go in there. If they confirm what she says, I might believe it. But until then, I'm like, I'm not really listening to this. So I go in and I wanted the main woman of the center to read me. I wanted the best of the best. And of course, she's not available. So I'm like, ha, it's a sign. I'm not supposed to get read here. But all of a sudden, this redhead lady walked up. She's like, well, I can read you. And so she sits down, she starts doing the cards, and she looks at the cards, and then she looks at me, and she looks at the cards, and she looks at me. And I'm like, what? She's like, do you know you're really psychic? And I'm like, oh, no. And I'm like, well, I was sort of told that by an astrologer, so I was kind of coming here to figure that out. She's like, you need to take our tarot card class. You need to work as a psychic. You have really strong energy. And so I'm like, okay, sign me up. But still no information about mediumship. Until that same year, is the year 2000, John Edward comes on TV and he starts talking to dead people. And I'm looking at the screen and I'm like, oh my God, somebody is actually talking to people in heaven. This had been what I was searching for my whole life, and like real proof that heaven exists. And so he starts, you know, doing his thing and starts talking. And I'm thinking, I had this thought in my head, like, oh my God, how can somebody possibly do this? And then here comes the voices in my head. And they said, oh, you can do that. And I'm like, what? They're like, you can do that. I'm like, no, I can't. They're like, yes, you can. I'm like, no, I can't. And they're like, what do you think you're doing right now? And I think I had the biggest epiphany of my life at that moment when the voices in my head told me that they were spirits. They weren't like this inner dialogue. It wasn't my subconscious. It wasn't my own mind talking to myself. I had been talking to spirit my whole life. And I finally had that realization at that very moment in time. It blew my mind. It literally like almost knocked me off my feet. I was like, are you kidding me? And they're like, no, we've been here the whole time talking to you. And I'm like, there's no way. Like, there's no way I can do this. And they're like, okay, what do you want? I'm like, I want a sign. I want a sign that this is true. They're like, okay, what do you want? I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, what can you do? They're like, tell us what you want to see and we'll show it to you to prove to you that we are spirit. And so, like, I start thinking, I don't know why, I start thinking about my dad's Jewish heritage. And I come up with the movie Fiddler on the Roof. Like, show me the movie Fiddler on the Roof, because nobody ever really sees this. You barely see it on TV. So show me Fiddler on the Roof. And they're like, okay, we can do it. Later that night, I'm start making dinner. And my husband comes home and he starts joking around about movies. And the next thing he does, he starts joking around about the movie Fiddler on the Roof. And I like stopped. I'm like, what? What? And he's like, yeah, he's just joking around about it. I'm like, okay, that's a coincidence. I'm like, there is no way that he's joking around about the movie that I asked Spirit to show me. I'm like, nope. I need a bigger sign than this. So my guides are like, what do you want? I'm like, I need like a billboard sign. I need like something huge that I know without a doubt that this is a sign from you. And they're like, okay. The very next day, I start driving the kids to daycare because I had two young kids at this point. And I start driving on the road. It's a 2-lane road out of this small town in New Hampshire. And I'm driving, and next thing I know, I look up, and there's a banner from one side of the street to the other side of the street, kind of over the 2-lane road, and it said, Fiddler on the Roof, coming to the Opera House. There was an opera house there in town. I almost got in a car accident because I almost hit the car in front of me. I was in complete shock at that point because how in the world did that banner appear there? It was not there the day before. I promise you that. And I'm like, I'm freaking out at this point. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to drop the kids off to work. At their daycare, I'm going to drive to work. Work's like an hour away in Massachusetts. So I'm driving to work. I get into the office. I sat down at my desk. There's somebody placed a paper, like one of those news article papers on my desk. First thing that I open up at 2, the first thing on the page, Fiddler on the Roof coming to the area. And I'm like laughing hysterically at this point because this was like the third sign. And I'm like, okay, I get it. I believe it. I'm talking to dead people in my head. I'm kind of freaking out right now, but if this John Edward guy can do it, why not me? So I start going to the psychic center and learning everything I can about psychic and mediumship. And that was just the beginning of my journey. And that started in the year 2000. And I've been kind of nonstop since. Very interesting experience, though.
Your first experience, I think, of meeting an earthbound spirit was actually quite distressing, wasn't it?
Well, I was in a mediumship class, one of the first, and we start, the teacher's like, okay, let's go into a guided meditation or visualization, and we're going to have you all meet somebody and connect to the spirit world. And this has been like one of my first chances to be able to set intention to actually talk to spirit without them coming to me. I was going to them, which is a very different experience. So we start going into meditation in this circle group. There's like 8 or 10 students in this group. And they take us in a guided meditation. And next thing I know, I have this woman coming like an inch from my face in spirit. She's covered in blood. And she looks down and she shows me her two small kids on the ground covered in blood. And she's holding a knife. And I'm looking at all this like it's so clear as if they're standing right in front of me. But my eyes are closed. And I'm looking at her like, what is going on? And she's like, I just killed myself and my two kids. What are you going to do about it? And I'm kind of not sure what to do or what to say. So I just start counseling her. I couldn't think of anything else to say. I'm like, well, you know, maybe you were having a bad day. Maybe you didn't mean this. I'm sure you are very remorseful now. I was kind of like in this panic mode. And next thing I know, I have this beautiful bright light come in. I hear, Amy, I'm a guide. Don't worry. I've got this. And all of a sudden, there was all this white light that you know, kind of came over her and the children. And they all disappeared. And like 3 minutes later, they took us out of the meditation. And everyone's talking about, oh, I saw my dad and I saw this beautiful woman, or, you know, I saw my grandparents. And when they came to me, I'm like, I don't think I want to share my experience, because I was expecting to maybe see my grandparents that were at least my grandfather in spirit. And I had a woman covered in blood who had just killed her children. So that was my first experience connecting to a spirit that obviously held a lot of, you know, trauma. I don't know if the kids were earthbound, but I think she was showing me a memory. And my guides came in to kind of rescue me at that moment, because it was my first experience and I'll never forget it. Very interesting.
But then you say, whenever you opened up to communicate with spirits, this really heavy energy would come through. Every time, was that?
Oh, just about every time. Whenever I was sitting in a development circle, because I joined the spiritualist church as well, and they had development circles, and I would sit there and the whole room would start to feel really heavy. And then it would get dark. Even though the lights were off and we had like a red light in the center, it can get darker. It got really dark and it got heavy. And everyone would start looking at me because they knew I was the beacon. I was the one bringing all of these really heavy spirits in. And I didn't know why. I had no clue. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just trying to connect the spirits in heaven. I didn't even call it the light at that point. I was still like, I was in my early 20s. I had no idea what I was doing. And everyone felt really uncomfortable. And so they started asking me not to come to the development circles. Or they said, you need to clear yourself. You need to get rid of this curse. You need to find out why you're attracting these spirits. And they pretty much said, like energy attracts like energy. So there's something wrong with you and you need to clear yourself so that you don't attract these bad spirits anymore. Because they didn't say they were wounded. They just said bad spirits. So I'm thinking I'm attracting really negative spirits. There's something wrong with me, you know. And my teacher at the psychic center said, go to your guides. They've been talking to you your whole life. Go to them, find out what's going on. And so I go into meditation, I set intention, I go up the stairs, I go into a beautiful white room. I kind of, this is my sacred space, going to connect to my guides. And they said, well, they're not bad spirits. These spirits are actually wandering. They're dazed and confused. They're lost. They're scared. Some are heavy. Some are very emotional. They carry a lot of emotional baggage. They said, but they're not bad. These are not bad people. They just carry a lot of bad emotions. And they said, you are meant to help these spirits. And I'm like, ah, you got the wrong person. I'm like, no, not me. Don't want anything to do with this. But they're like, no, this is your calling. This is what we said. We told you you were special and that you were different and you came to do something very important. They said, this is it. This is what you came to do. You have agreements to do this work. And I said, well, I don't want to. I mean, they're scary and everyone's kind of rejecting me for this. I'm not even allowed in any of these groups to connect to spirit anymore. And they said, you're going to face a lot of rejection. You're going to face a lot of scrutiny. There's going to be people that tell you you're delusional, that you're wrong. You have to keep doing this work. And so I would go to a lot of these spiritual leaders and I would tell them what my guides would say. And then they said, well, I think these bad spirits are corrupting you. I think they're lying to you. You need to have more discernment than this because there's no way that these spirits need help. You need to stay away from them. They're bad. And anything, any spirit that tells you that you're supposed to work with them is obviously lying to you. So I think I went about a year or two searching for other mediums to validate that I'm supposed to be doing this work, working with all these heavy spirits, because I was confused. I didn't know what to believe. All the voices that were in my head my whole life that I had trusted my whole life were telling me I was supposed to do this work. Yet all the mediums in the spiritual community were telling me I wasn't supposed to. I didn't know how to believe. I was so confused at this point. I felt really rejected by the spiritual community. I felt like I was alone again in my journey, and I didn't really know what to do. And I think it was my teacher from the psychic center was like, I do this work as well. And I'm like, what? I was like, what? You do this work? She's like, yes, I help. We call them earthbound spirits. And we actually go to home investigations. We find these spirits and we help them find the way into the light. And so I start doing some research online. And sure enough, all the words and everything that my guides were giving me, it came up under Google search, something called rescue mediumship. And this had been developed about 30, 40 years prior to me waking up to this work. And all these mediums around the world were confirming everything that my guides were saying. And that there was a handful of mediums in the world that actually helped these earthbound spirits. And that gave me the confidence I needed to prove to myself that I wasn't being lied to, that I was supposed to do this work. But I have to say there were probably, I don't know, 5 or 6 mediums that I found online to do this work and thousands of mediums that said that it was wrong. But I think I must have 5 or 6 mediums that gave me what I needed to be able to say, give myself permission to do the work. And I even say, even to this day, mediums around the world are still shaming this type of work and saying that it's wrong. But that's why I'm here. I'm here to tell my story and that there's so many mediums out there that are also connecting to earthbound spirits. They're also experiencing the same thing I did. And I'm here to help them understand they're not alone, that there's nothing wrong with what they're doing. And this is a very useful, very healing, very special form of mediumship that only comes to a select few.
So do you feel that the earthbound spirits are somehow attracted to you? Almost like you're a light in the darkness and they say they can see you somewhere. I think, there she is. There's the one I need. Let's go over there.
Absolutely. You just nailed it. We have something called the vibrational frequency. And it's in the core of your energy, your etheric self, which holds all your contracts, agreements, your personality, your soul, your higher self vibration. everything is kind of like coded inside of you. And this comes in with you through your birth, and you hold this energy. Sometimes it doesn't get activated until you're ready. So these codes get activated inside your core frequency. And over time, they release into your aura, and you start emitting and projecting these new codes, these agreements, these vibrations in your energy field. Every spirit that for miles, and I wouldn't even say not even miles, I'd say all around the world, because I've attracted spirits around the world, they can now see our unique vibrational frequency, which is very different from a regular medium. And our vibration is an exact match for their frequency. So it's like an earthbound spirit's walking around in the dark. Next thing they know, they feel like a wave of energy come to them. And they look and they see our light. They see our vibration. They can also read our energy through that energy field. So when they link in with us, they know who we are, what we're here to do, what we can do, and our contracts and agreements. They know we're a rescue medium before we do, because our energy is in the core of our soul, not necessarily in our mind. We're not self-aware. But even when we're not self-aware, our vibration still holds that unique match, that frequency, and the spirits can read it from all over the world. They can sense you. And different rescue mediums have different frequencies. Some rescue mediums come in just to work with the lost or children or people that are scared, while you have other rescue mediums that have a denser frequency with stronger contracts and agreements, and they're attracting more spirits that are denser, murder victims, rape victims, hostage situations, very dark earthbound spirit situations. So just because we say we're a rescue medium doesn't mean that we handle all earthbound spirits. Like, mediums don't handle all spirits in the light. Our own unique frequency and our agreements decide what spirits will be attracted to us.
Hello, this is me, Simon. Did you know that during a past life regression, you can meet with your spirit guide? I conduct past life regression sessions over Zoom, and I've guided many clients to a spiritual encounter with their guide. If you would like to ask me how a session would work for you, you can book a free 20-minute consultation on my website, pastliveshypnosis.co.uk. The link is in the show notes. So for what reasons would a spirit become earthbound?
Well, that is something that we're still trying to figure out. Yes, we have many scenarios that can change and alter perception of somebody's consciousness in the death process. You know, we have crisis deaths where people die very quickly. They get dazed and confused. We have spirits that just aren't ready to go, and they decide to turn from the light and they wander because they're still very much attached to the physical existence and the family members that they're closely connected to. There are some spirits that just decide not to go because they're angry at God. They weren't ready to die. And so they turn from the light and then they wander. There's so many reasons why a particular individual soul decides not to cross. Almost every scenario has to do with something we call attachment. Attachment means that that soul is still attached to something in the physical world that anchors them in that denser frequency. And so their focus is on the physical world and not in the spirit world. And that can keep a soul in what we call the lower astral plane. The lower astral plane is where earthbound spirits actually they walk around, they project their consciousness into. So spirits are all in the astral plane, but there are many levels in the astral plane. These earthbound spirits are in the lower astral plane, and there are many levels to the lower astral plane. It gets very advanced. But the wandering spirit that decides not to move into the light will wander and stay very much attached to whatever it is they're focused on. And quite often the focus is their trauma, their wounding, their sadness, or their anger. And that anchors them here unable to help them release into the higher plane of the astral world.
Well, could you give us an example of one time you helped a spirit move on?
Oh, I've had thousands of experiences. The majority of the earthbound spirits that come find me are spirits that know that they're dead. They're like, yep, I know I died. I know something's different. I just don't know where to go. And that would confuse me. I would literally ask my guides, how does somebody not know how to die? I can't imagine that. How can somebody not know? Aren't we just going to wake up and we're in the astral plane? Aren't we just going to move through some spiritual corridor or an angel comes down to collect us? And my guide said every earthbound spirit or every spirit transitions in their own unique way according to their vibration and the reality of that vibration. So every person's going to have a different world or a different reality that they move into according to their consciousness. So the majority of these spirits that come find me, they've been wandering because they just don't know where to go, because in their death process, they were confused about death. They didn't know that they had moved into the light. They didn't know where the light was. So quite often they come to me, they swarm me like bees, and they say, we want help moving into the light. And so I learned through time, through the instruction of my guides and angels, how to open a door, which is a corridor, it's a portal from the lower astral plane to the higher astral plane. And so I started working with a team in the spirit world, shepherding spirits, angelic helpers, protectors and healers, and my guides. They all came and worked with me as a team to help shepherd these spirits into the light. Most mediums work independently, but rescue mediums have to work with a team. We don't do it just ourselves. I hear so many horror stories of mediums saying, oh, I just opened up this portal and set a spirit into the light and closed it. And I'm like, how do you know it was the light? How do you know where you sent them to? Did your team come in and shepherd them and walk them through? Did they give you a heads up and let you know that the spirit made it okay? Did you get the validation? And a lot of rescue mediums out there are like, I don't know. I'm like, oh, we don't want to just send spirits into the cosmos and not know where they're going. So I work mainly with my team. My team is the one that actually transitions them. I'm just the mediator between the earthbound spirit and the spirit world. We like to think we help the spirit transition, but we're really just the helpers. The spirit world still does all the work. So there are many, many different types of transitions. There's many different techniques to help a spirit cross over. But it's, I think, my most memorable experience was with a child. And I am going to say his name, but I want people to recognize that this was somebody that was in the media, somebody was in the news. And I don't want it kind of getting out to the parents because they went through so much. And I was still learning and developing as a medium and very early on. This was around 2005. My teacher had asked me to go on a house investigation in her stead because she couldn't go. And I was so excited because I was her student and she was making me lead medium that day. And we had paranormal investigators and EVP specialists going, and it was a farmhouse in Maine. And so we had to drive about an hour to get there. It was, of course, very Stephen King-like, back roads and haunted locations in Maine. So it was very unique, and because I'm originally from California, I wasn't never been to Maine before. But we drive there, and the farmhouse did have two spirits in the house. And I looked at them and like, okay, we're ready to go. And like, you're ready to go into the light now? And they're like, yep, we just wanted to get you out here. I'm like, why? They're like, oh, you'll see. There's something else going on here we need you to look into. But they said, we're ready to go. We're anxious to go into the light. Can you open the door for us? It's like they knew more about rescue work than I did. I'm like, okay. So I brought in my team. We transitioned the spirits into the light. And then they left, and then the house was clear. It literally took 10 minutes. Like, there's something up. There's something else going on here. I have no idea what's going on, but you know, you had that gut feeling that they were alluding to something else big happening on the land. So we start walking out. They start collecting their gear. And all of a sudden, I got this nudge, this pull over into the field, because this was a farmhouse in Maine with lots of land. And I look over into the field, and there's a spirit boy about the age of 10 running frantically towards me. And he's waving his hands in the air, and he's like, "Don't go. I'm still here. I'm still here." And I'm looking at him like, "Oh my God, there's a boy." And everyone turns to look like, "Where?" I'm like, "Well, he's dead. You can't see him, but I can clearly see him. And he's running at us in this field." And this boy had brown hair, freckles, got the age of between, 9 and 10. And he started showing me a river. And he says, "My body's in the river, but I want to go home." He's like, "I've been here for a while. I just want to go home." And so I didn't really know what to do because I'd never crossed a child over before. And so I heard my team say, "Call in a family member, someone he can trust." So I sent the intention to the spirit world for a family member to come through. Next thing I know, this beautiful grandmother energy comes in, and she's glowing, and she is just radiating all this love. And in my mind, I'm seeing this little boy and his grandmother embrace. And the love I felt was stronger than any love I'd ever experienced in my life. And she looked at me and she's like, "Thank you." She's like, "Thank you for connecting us together." And all of a sudden, they both went into light and everything got silent. And all of this took like 5 minutes in our world. And people were like, "What happened? What happened?" I'm like, and so I started showing everybody. I'm like, "This is what happened. This is what he showed me. It was a river. This is how old he was. This is what he was telling me." And all of a sudden, the homeowner's faces turn white. And I look at them, I'm like, "What?" And they're like, "You know who that was, don't you?" I'm like, "No, I have no clue. I mean, I'm not familiar with the area or for Maine." They're like, "No, like that was Jeffrey Curley." I'm like, "Who's Jeffrey Curley?" And they said he was a 10-year-old boy kidnapped in Massachusetts by two men. They had molested him, murdered him, and dumped his body in a river that was less than a mile from the house we were investigating. I had no idea. I hadn't even heard the history, because it was like 10 years before I actually moved to the area. And it's not something you would be just like aware of unless somebody told you. So the homeowner's like, "You just contacted Jeffrey and they found his body a mile from our house." And I'm like, how in the world was I supposed to know that? But then I started kicking myself. Like, I wish I could have gotten more information. I wish I could have, gotten information for his parents to tell him that he's okay. And then, the EVP specialist, she's like, "Amy, you did your job. You just helped a little boy cross into the light and feel loved again. And he was lost and now he's not." And like, I did my job. I said, but I really wish I had spent a little bit more time investigating and asking him questions. But I realized that's not what it's about. What it's about is helping a spirit find peace and find the love that they need. He had been wandering for 10 years in that field. And I believe that those spirits that were in the farmhouse saw him there. And they didn't want to cross over until they got a medium out there to talk to that little boy, because they were trying to protect him. And that was the first time spirits that were earthbound were helping other spirits that were earthbound. They all worked together to make sure that little boy got a medium out there to talk to him and help him cross over. So I feel like everything is coordinated. Everything is synchronized. I just happened to be available that day. The spirits were easily, to cross. The little boy found me. Everything was synchronized by the spirit world. All I needed to do was show up. And it was one of the most magical experiences of my career. And it was just about the time I was beginning to think I was going to give up rescue work, because I'd only been experiencing a lot of negative spirits up to that point. And I really didn't want the burden of being attacked by spirits and, you know, because they would attack me every night. And I was really at this point where I wanted to give up. I didn't want anything to do with rescue work anymore. And then that happened. And I think in that moment, I realized rescue mediumship was more about negative spirits. It was about spirits that really needed my help and our help here in the physical world. And I helped the little boy find his way home. And there's no words that can describe what that feels like. And from that moment on, I was hooked in rescue mediumship, and I've been doing it ever since.
And you say that he was in that area for 10 years, but also I think you say in the book that time doesn't change. Time doesn't pass for spirits the same way it does for us. And that in some ways, spirits can get trapped in time.
Yes, very much so. Quite often, many spirits are trapped in what we call a time imprint, which is an imprint of a time of their death. And in that imprint, it creates an alternate reality where the spirit is actually existing in a simulation of the same time over and over and over again. It's like getting trapped in a dream state. And so it may be 50 years here in the physical world, but the spirit is stuck in that time imprint, replaying the scenario over and over and over again, not realizing it's been 50 years. I believe with Jeffrey, he knew that time had gone on, because when he said, "I'm still here," that's an indication that he knew that some time had passed. So he wasn't stuck in a time imprint. He was just stuck. But yes, there are a lot of spirits that aren't aware that they've died. They're still fighting the battles, though they're still going through the scenarios of their death, and they're still trying to find their way out and to find some type of shift in their reality. That's what rescue mediums do. We come in and we penetrate into their reality, their bubble, and we help them see where they are, what's happened to them, and we get them to change their perspective and move into light to continue with their journey.
Do you ever come across earthbound spirits that have kind of relaxed about it and they say to you, "Well, you know what, I'm doing fine. I don't want to move on"?
All the time. Quite often, a lot of these spirits are kind of grumpy and they're set in their ways and they're like, "Hey, we know we're dead. We're not ready to go." And that's perfectly fine. We are not enforcers. And I want people to recognize that. There's so many stereotypes about rescue mediums out there that say we force spirits into light. That's not true at all. We are here as advisors and counselors, and we shift the perspective of the earthbound spirit. But one thing we never do is force. We never coerce. We never push them into light. We never do anything that goes against their free will. So if the spirit looks at us and like, "Yep, we're really happy where we are. We really don't want to go." There's many scenarios that happen from that. Either, you know, if they're in a haunted location, we make sure the homeowners are okay with them staying. If the homeowners aren't okay, then we find some type of agreement with the earthbound spirit. And we bring in a what I call a travel guide. And these are spirits in the light that help the earthbound spirit find another location that's comfortable for them and say, "Okay, well, you can't stay here, but you got to go somewhere else. And we can help get you there. It's not the light, but it's still a place that's safe for everybody." If the homeowners say, "Yes, it's fine," then they're all in agreement, then we leave. We don't cross the spirit over. But we do remind the spirit that even though they're comfortable where they are, their true natural journey and progression is in the light. So if they're ever looking to finally move out of what they're doing and who they are in this temporary situation, they need to think about going into light. And they usually like, "Yeah, we know. We're going to get there eventually." It's like they try to negotiate with us. But then there are spirits that are quite harassing and they don't want to move into light. And they're like, "Nope, we're not going anywhere." And if the homeowners or the people that are being harassed really don't want them there, then rescue mediums sort of come in as enforcers at that moment and spirit security. We don't enforce them. We don't force them into light, but we do force them out of that location. And we say, okay, we could take you to another location. We could put you in a holding area somewhere in the astral plane. We can have angels come down and put you in lockdown. There's a lot of different things that we can do to enforce the protection of that location and the people that still live there. Because one thing we try to do is remind earthbound spirits that anyone that exists in the physical dimension have precedence over any earthbound spirit that tries to stay in the third dimension. So we have priority. We're allowed to say we don't want an earthbound spirit there. So if somebody here in the physical world says, no, I don't want them here, then the earthbound spirit can't stay no matter what. But we always do try to find some type of resolution or mediation between them and trying to make sure the earthbound spirit is as comfortable as they can be.
I suppose some spirits might not want to move into the light because maybe they're very religious and they're worried about judgment if they go into the light.
Quite often that does happen. There's so many religions out there that, you know, they provoke fear. If you've done anything wrong in your life, you're going to hell. If you're going to die, then you're going to move into heaven and have 100 wives. Or maybe you're going to move into a state of purgatory because, you know, you have to pass through purgatory to get to the light and you have to prove yourself as a soul. There's many different cultures and religions out there that kind of give different scenarios of the death process. And when the spirits move into the transition process and it's not what they expect, they get very confused, they get scared, they get lost along the way. And again, like you said, a lot of spirits are afraid of that judgment. And many spirits won't go into the light because of that judgment. Me as a minister, I can come in and I can tell them, reassure them that there is no judgment in the light. And then I can do prayers for them. I could bring in their angel. They could speak to their angel and get reassured that there is no judgment. We can do many things to kind of clear that expectation for these earthbound spirits. But they have to communicate with us to be able to get to that place. And quite often spirits that are, you know, turning from the light because of that judgment, they turn from us as well, and they don't want to speak to us. So it does take some time to be able to finally get through.
So is there a thing, I think I read this in the book, that the medium can do some form of remote viewing and can see and experience what the spirit is experiencing?
Yes, we can either do it through remote viewing or astral projection. Remote viewing is safer. Through remote viewing, it's being able to project our consciousness into a location, and then we could scan the location through our third eye. And if there is an earthbound spirit in that location, then our consciousness can now create an energy link with that consciousness. And through this energy link at a distance, anywhere in the world, we can communicate with these spirits. As my guides always say, there are no walls. The walls don't exist. Space doesn't exist. These locations don't exist. The only thing that exists is our consciousness and energy. So I've communicated with many spirits around the world just by linking into that location, scanning the area. As soon as I feel a vibrational match with an earthbound spirit, I'll link in with them, I'll communicate, and I can cross them over just by a quick conversation.
We've been talking about your book. It's called Toward the Light, Rescuing Spirits, Trapped Souls, and Earthbound Ghosts. And people can get that on Amazon, can't they?
They can find it on Amazon, Target, Barnes & Noble, anywhere around the world. But Amazon is usually the easiest way to find it internationally.
Can you give us your website?
Yes, people can reach me at www.amymajor.com. Real easy. They can also go to my online school because I do teach rescue mediumship and I actually have a certification program for it, and that's spiritrescuecenter.com. They can also find me on Facebook. I'm a little older. I'll be 50 soon, so I'm kind of a Facebooker. I don't really do a lot of TikTok or Instagram and stuff, but I will try to get on those social media sites a little bit more. But they can find me on Facebook under Amy Major. And they can just reach out if they have any questions, reach out to my website. But, you know, I also have a free rescue mediumship chat group on Facebook where people can join. And we have thousands of rescue mediums around the world that all ask each other questions. It's a great support community of rescue mediums. So I invite anyone who's interested in this work to join the Facebook group and just ask questions and know there's a community of other mediums standing behind them.
Fantastic. Well, thanks again for coming on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It was an honor, and I'm just so honored to be here with you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
This week, I was talking to Amy Major about her book, Toward the Light, Rescuing Spirits, Trapped Souls, and Earthbound Ghosts. If you want to hear the rest of this amazing interview, you can sign up to Patreon. The Patreon episodes are ad-free and are released 2 days before the free versions. You can become a patron by going to patreon.com/ourparanormalafterlife or click on the Patreon button on my homepage at pastliveshypnosis.co.uk. The links are in the show notes. My book, titled Verified Near-Death Experiences, is out now on Amazon, and you can get it on paperback, audiobook, or Kindle. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.